Hey, soldiers for Christ, we are here and we are ready to start our first Hebrew class, Rishon Messianic Bible College. And I just want to welcome all of you and thank all of you for your encouragement. Thank you for signing up. If you haven't signed up, we would like you to go to our website and sign up for the class, because the more students we get, this is not our first boat ride. The first time we did this, we didn't have 30 students, so we couldn't get this class accredited. But now that we have more than 30 students, if everybody signs up, we'll be able to make the class accredited, and then you could take that credit to a university. Now, I don't think we'll be here that long, and I'm hoping in the middle of this session we're raptured, and then this will be a great speech that we can laugh about when we get there. But we'll need you to sign up so we can take care of business and make sure that you're not wasting time, and you can also get accreditation for these classes. Now, before we get started, we're going to start off with a prayer. The prayer is in Hebrew. You know the prayer. You grew up with the prayer. It is the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to say it in Hebrew, and then I'm going to also say it in English, and then we'll get started in our class. Praise the Lord. Or Hallel Adonai. Here we go. Are we ready, Pastor Ben?
You ready?
Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yitkadesh Shemcha. Tavo mechutecha yi aserot sanaka, be'aretz ke asher ne'asa be'shamaim. Tenlanu chayom lekum hukeno, usilak lanu et ashmeteno, ke asher solechem anachnu le asher ashmelanu. Vial tevienu lede masa, ke'im hatzilanu min hara, kilacha hamamlecha ve'gav. Why can't I ever say that word? Vegevura vehativ eret leolame leolamim. Amen. And so that is the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew. I am going to make sure that I email this Lord's Prayer to you, because I'd like for all of us to say it in Hebrew each time we have a session. And it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So praise the Lord. Next time we will also say the Shema prayer. We're not going to do that today, because I want you to have a copy of it in Hebrew so that you can also be able to go through that prayer with me. So praise the Lord. Welcome. And here we go. Now, the purpose of me doing this class, this was something the Lord put in my heart. He gave me 17 lessons, and he told me to put this book together. Now, this book, I hope you already have a copy and you're going to be following with me today. What we're going to learn out of this book is not just how to speak Hebrew. We're not going to just learn the letters. We're going to learn the Torah and how it connects to the New Testament. We're going to learn the Bible, but we're going to learn it through the eyes of God, because once you see the scriptures through the eyes of God, and that's through the Hebrew language, then you will begin to understand the scriptures a lot more than you ever have before. Now, there are two things that we are really needed to be learned, and that is that the Bible is based on typology, meaning that everything that you read is talking about a future event. And that's from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. These are all typologies. And these typologies are talking about, we get to the eighth day, which that'll be the end of the whole thing. But the typologies are taking us to a further day. And you're going to need to learn gematria. And gematria is just that every Hebrew letter is also a number. So, since every letter is a number, God was able to do some incredible things with the scriptures in both Greek and Hebrew, because the Greek, there are two alphanumeric languages in the world, Hebrew and Greek, where every letter is also a number. So God is able to interchange numbers and mix and match numbers with the Torah, with the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, and therefore you'll see the signature of God, because what he does in the Old Testament, he's going to match it with the New Testament with numbers and with letters, and that's the journey that we're going to be on. So praise the Lord, and here we go. The first thing I want to teach you today is a couple of words, okay? The first word I want to teach you today, I'm going to write it and I'm going to erase it. So I want you, if you got a pen or something, I want you to write this word down. I'm going to write it in regular letters. Tov. And what does Tov mean? Good. I'm erasing that. Here's another word. Todah. What does that mean? Wait a minute. Let me put the H on there. Todah means thank you. Okay, so Todah means thank you. One more word. Bavakasha. Bavakasha. What does that mean? Please. Okay? So, Bavakasha, please. Thank you, Todah. Tov is good. Okay? Now, I want to try to give you about 5 or 10 words each day so that we can begin to be familiar with some of the Hebrew terms. And you already have one, which is shalom. Okay. If you will open your books, and I hope you have your books with you and you're looking at your books, open to page 2, the very next page. And you will see the letters. You will see these letters. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalit, Hey, Vav, Zion. These are the first 7 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And this is very important. Now listen, you have to take notes because we have tests. This is an actual school. So make sure that you write the first 7 letters. And I want you to understand that each of these letters has a meaning. And so the meaning of these letters is going to tell you, the first 7 letters are going to tell you the plan of God. Okay? And so we're going to go through that plan that God has for us, through the 7 letters. The next thing. Now, let's look at these letters. We're going to do a Bible study today because it's not as important that you learn Hebrew as you learn the Bible, because the only reason God created the letters was to write the Bible. You understand? The letters is his expression and understanding to the world. So he wrote the 22 letters. He created 22 letters so that he could write a book that we could comprehend and understand. Okay? So now the first letter is Aleph. Let's write the Aleph is right here. And what does Aleph mean? Aleph means God. Here you go. Aleph is God. Now, Aleph does not only mean God, it has a second meaning. Because the ancient Hebrew for Aleph is ox. And what does an ox do? An ox carries all of your burdens. An ox is a servant. So God sees himself, the first letter of the Hebrew, not only as God, but he sees himself as an ox, being one who is going to carry the burdens of the people. So God wants to carry your burdens. Now, so the first thing you have is God. Now, what did God do? He created the heavens and the earth. God built a house, right? So now, the letter bet, and that's how you say it, bet, means house. And even if you speak in Hebrew, you're going to use the word bet. That word means house, okay? Now, the third letter is gemel. And what does that word mean? Love and kindness, or kindness and love. So God built the house, and then he did what? He showed us kindness and love. How did he show us kindness and love? By doing this. The fourth letter is dalet. And dalet means door. So the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet means door. Dalet means door. So the door is the fourth letter. That's very important. Now, who is the door to salvation? Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ is the door to salvation, what happened after Jesus left? Because God built the house and showed kindness, and then he sent the door to open the door to the kingdom of God to us. That was the kindness. After the door left and went back to heaven, he sent us hay. What does hay mean? We left out one letter. Hay means, this is what hay means. And I'm glad we left it out because it's special. Hay is the spirit of God. Okay? So hay is the spirit of God. We're going to erase this. After the door, God sent hay. That's the spirit of God. Then vav is redemption. Hey is the spirit. And Zion is rest. Rest from what? Struggle. Okay? Now, so now we have God built the house. He showed kindness by sending the door, Jesus Christ. When the door went back to heaven, he now sent who? The Spirit of God. So when Christ goes back, he says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send you a helper. So he sends hay to come and help us. Now, the Spirit of God leads us here to Vav. Vav is the connection. It is the word of connection. It connects everything in scriptures. You say, a matter of fact, when you say Vav, is like saying and. So Vav is like and this, and that would be ve this, ve that. So Vav is the connection. The connection is what? Redemption, salvation. So this can also mean complete salvation is Vav. Then the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet is what? Zion. And Zion means what? Rest from struggle. So here you have this first seven letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and this is the story of God. God is going to build a house. He's going to show love and kindness by sending the door, Jesus, then sending his Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, then connecting us with the sixth letter, giving us salvation or redemption, and then give us a transcendent life or rest from our struggle. So there you have the menorah, the meaning of the seven candlestick of the menorah. Now, if Jesus is the door, he's always going to be the center point of the menorah because he's the one that provides all the anointing oil to the rest of the parts of the lamp. So the delit is always the most important part. So the letter door, Jesus Christ, is the one who is bringing us into salvation. Now, I want you guys to go to the next page, and that page would be page 8. And we're going to begin a Bible study and learn some more Hebrew. And that page should look like this. And I want you to follow me step by step because you're going to learn a lot about typologies. And you're going to learn some Hebrew in this story as well. That's going to clear up some things that sometimes people have biblical problems with. Are you ready? Okay, now, Pastor Sandy, why do you call this Bible study Abraham the Movie? Well, all of the stories, all of the lessons are basically called the movie, okay? Some are Joseph the Movie, some are David the Movie. What other movie do we have here? Moses the Movie. So all of these are movies. Why? Because as we tell you the story, they have stars that are playing a role, but the role that they're playing is not has nothing to do with them. It has to do with someone in reality, okay? And remember, the word we're giving you is typologies. Typology is this. So in the book, in this thing called Abraham the Movie, Abraham will be playing the role of God. Okay? Sarah will be playing the role of Mary. Isaac will be playing the role of the Son, Jesus Christ. Eleazar will be playing the role of the Holy Spirit. And Rebecca as the bride of Christ. So we're going to go through this story as Abraham the Movie. Here we go. Go to page, you're on page 8? Let's go over to page 9 and begin. Glasses, please. Okay. The story begins with understanding Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Now, if you look underneath there, after we just read Genesis 15:1-2, we see that the word Eleazar in Hebrew means God's helper, okay? So Eleazar is playing the role of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, let's go down to the next verse, because you're going to see in John 15:26, it says, "When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, the Holy Spirit." Now that we have understanding of who Eleazar is, we understand that in the gospel, when Jesus was talking about, "I'm going to send you the helper," He's talking about Eleazar, because that's how you say it. If I'm speaking Hebrew and you're in Israel and I want to talk to a Jewish person, I'm going to say, Slicha, atayoko le'azorli. Can you help me? Atayoko le'azorli. Because the word azor, Eleazar, is the word help, okay? So, can you help me? Eleazar is the helper. He's going to be playing that role, and we have to remember that as we go through this study. Now, when you get to Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, it says here, then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So she said, here in the tent, speaking to Abraham. He said, in verse 10, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. In verse 11, it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So if Sarah is past the age of childbearing, that means she's going to have a child from Abraham, but it's going to take a miracle, right? So God has to get directly involved for Sarah to have a child. And is that true concerning Mary? Yes. Okay? So Sarah is playing the role of Mary. She's going to have a miracle child. Okay, Genesis chapter 21, verse 2 to 5. It says, Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in her old age, and at the set time which God had spoken to him, Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah had born to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised Isaac when he was 8 years old, okay, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Now, when he's born, he's circumcised on what day? The eighth day. We're already starting to talk about Jesus already, because we know that Jesus in the Greek is 8:8:8. Which is the name of Jesus. So the circumcision is based on the coming of Christ, as we talk about Isaac right here. Now, let's go over to the next page, page 10. Wow. Here it says here. Then he said, take now your son, your only son. This is what God is saying to Isaac, I mean to Abraham. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled the donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. So now he's taking his son Isaac, and he takes the wood, and he's going to obey God. He's going to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. But now listen what happens here. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar. And after said to his son, stay here, to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back. Let's look at two things here. They arrived to the mountain on the third day. This is true, right? They arrived at the mountain on the third day. From the first day that he left, Isaac knew in his heart what he was going to do Abraham knew in his heart what he was going to do to Isaac, right? So in his understanding, these 3 days, Isaac is considered to be dead, because in his heart, he knows that he has to sacrifice his son. Okay. Then it says here, so Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. Now, why is Isaac carrying the wood to his own death? So, are we talking about Isaac's story, or are we talking about Jesus' story? So you can see in this whole thing is a typology of the coming Christ. So Isaac is carrying the wood to his sacrifice, and his father has the utensils, or the fire and the knife, to do the sacrifice. And it says, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, Father, he said, here I am, my son. Abraham said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, this is where you get into trouble here, because you're going to get an English translation that never uses this word. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Now, God never used the word that he's going to provide a lamb. He uses the word yiro'ah, which means, now, ro'ah means to see. Okay, ro'ah means to see. But if I put a yod in front of the word see, I'm saying yiro'ah, which means in a future time. So this letter in the Hebrew throws this word into the future. So this is how I do present tense, past tense. With this letter, this is a future tense. So in the scripture it says, God will, in Hebrew, yiro'ah himself as the lamb. So God is going to appear or be seen as the lamb in the future, okay? And it says, and they use one of the words right, because they say yiro'ah lo, which he means he's going to appear himself as the lamb, okay? So it says, then they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So there Isaac is being bound to the wood. So what is the order of the wood? That's the order of the wood. Isaac is being bound by his hands here, by his hands here, and by his feet here, and they're laying the wood down so that he can be killed here on the wood by his father. Okay? Let's continue. Now, it says, okay, and it says that Abraham stretched out his hand, okay, and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So here we go. It says, let's look at this. Let's look at the only son of Abraham is going to die as a sacrifice. God gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice. Abraham's son was dead was to die on Mount Moriah, the same mountain was called Mount Calvary at the time of Christ. So he doesn't just take him to any mountain. He takes him to a future mountain that is going to be used to sacrifice his own son. So today, Mount Moriah is now called Mount Calvary. So Isaac is on Mount Calvary, and he's bound to the wood, and his father is going to sacrifice him. It's the third day, and in his father's heart, he's already going to be dead. But on the third day, Abraham gets his son back. Now, listen to this. Once Jesus Christ resurrects from the grave, is that the end of the story? That is not the end of the story. Because we know now that once he resurrects from the grave, what has to happen to Jesus? Isaac is now alive, but Isaac needs a bride, okay? So let's look at this. Let's see. Let's go over to page 11. And here we are in Genesis chapter 24, verse 2 through 4. And it says, "And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will take a wife for my son." Now, listen what's going on here. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 through 4, Abraham calls his servant Eleazar, and he says, "I want you to do a favor for me, Eleazar." And he says, "What is it?" He says, "I will swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell." So Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house, which was Eleazar, who ruled all that he had, "Please put your hand under your thigh, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." So Eleazar takes off, and he's going on a journey to do what? To bring back a bride for Isaac, okay? Or we can say, and the Holy Spirit left heaven and went to earth to bring a bride back to Jesus, okay? But remember, this is a movie, so Isaac is not being Isaac. He's really just playing the role of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now we see here, look, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, let's read it again. Okay. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly reward. But Abram said to the Lord, 'What will you give me since I go childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?'" Okay? So, Eleazar is now going to do the job. Here we are. We are in 11, therefore the reason for the Holy Spirit. Okay. Okay, now in Genesis 24, verse 5 through 6, tells us of the Holy Spirit's adventure in finding the bride. First, if you're on page 11 at the bottom, first he finds Rebekah by the well. Okay, in Hebrew, the word Rebekah means hitched. Now, or it means to tie the knot. Rebekah is going to be married. And what is the common English phrase for being married? To be hitched Or sometimes we say, oh yeah, and he's going to tie the knot. So Rebecca, the word Rebecca means hitched or to tie the knot. Do we need a break, Pastor Ben?
Not at all.
Okay. Go over to verse to the 12th page of your booklet. When he met the family, he tells them all about Abraham and his son trying to convince the young lady to come back and marry Isaac. So when the Holy Spirit meets Rebecca, what does he do? He starts testifying about Isaac and about God. What does the Holy Spirit does when he meets us? He starts telling us about God and his son, Jesus Christ. And he offers us an invitation. And what is the invitation to us? That we will marry the king's son or God's son. And so here it is in chapter 24, verse 35. And it says, the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. First, he starts telling them about the wealth of his master Abraham. Eliezer gives her gifts, trying to convince her to go back and marry Isaac. When her father decides she can go and marry Isaac, Eliezer does not take her back until she agrees to marry Isaac. So it is not a forced marriage. That means that each one of us has to agree to go back with the Holy Spirit and marry Christ. Okay, chapter 24, verse 61. We have to accept the invitation. It says in chapter 24, verse 61, it says, Rebekah and her maid arose, and they rode on the camel and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now, it says, just a thought here, okay? It says that Rebekah mounted got up on the camel, and Eliezer began the journey to take Rebekah back to meet with Isaac. Just a thought of mine, and this is my thought, I think Eliezer helped her to get on the camel. So she had to be lifted up from the earth in order to ride back with the Holy Spirit, Eliezer, to meet her husband, whom she had never seen. Have we ever seen Jesus? Absolutely no. But the Holy Spirit is going to lift us up from the earth and begin the journey back to go and meet the person we have never seen, but we're going to marry. In Genesis 24, verse 62, now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. Beer Lahairoi means well of life, I see. Okay? So Isaac is waiting where? In the well of life, okay? And he's waiting there. He's not waiting for his bride. Listen what Genesis 24:63 says. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted up his eyes, and there the camel was coming. So Isaac was not out there to meet his bride. He was out there meditating. All of a sudden, he looks up, and here comes a camel with a bride on it, and he goes out, Now, this goes to the understanding that the person that's getting married, and this is just Jewish culture, because a lot of this in the Hebrew classes, we have to learn Jewish culture as well. In the Jewish culture, the son does not know the day of his wedding. So when Jesus said that, everybody that was standing around listening to Jesus that day understood what Jesus was talking about, because he says, no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels, not myself, only The Father. That was Jewish culture, meaning that I'm not going to know the day of my wedding because no Jewish man gets to know the day of his wedding. His father plans the wedding, and his father tells him the date when it's time. Okay? That's the culture. So Jesus was just speaking his own culture, and everybody around him knew he's talking about being married. Okay? And so now it says, Isaac goes out to meditate. We already read that. Let's go over to page 13. It says, then Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into a mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. So there you have the story of Jesus, his sacrifice, the Holy Spirit going to a foreign place to bring back a bride for the son. He does it. He brings him back. Now this is the end of the story. So here we go. It said, we just saw the mother having a miracle child. Who was that? Sarah. Who will it be in the future? In Matthew, Mary. The father sacrificed his son. Who is that? Abraham. In the future, in the book of Matthew, it will be God. His son resurrected back to life on the third day. It was Isaac, but now in the future, it will be Jesus. The son disappeared, not to be seen until the wedding. So now, when you read the story, and it says, Abraham went back with his two servants. They never mention Isaac again until he meets his bride here in this story. So then it says, we saw the Holy Spirit, Eleazar, the Holy Spirit, okay, go to the earth and convince a bride, the church, or Rebekah, to marry the son, Jesus Christ. We saw the bride accept the invitation because her mother said, let's ask her. If you read the narrative, the mother said, let's ask her. If she agrees, we'll let her go. Last, we saw the Holy Spirit take the bride back to the master to marry his son. Okay. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. Listen to this. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself for a burnt offering. Okay. We have to understand, because if you say that God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering and not what the Hebrew actually says, which is Elohim Yiro'ah lo, okay, a sacrifice. He will himself be seen in the future, or will appear in the future as a sacrifice, okay? So if you're Jewish and you're reading this, you never have any complications in understanding that the person that came to be the sacrifice was God himself. Okay? So that is the first lesson, I think, of the day. Is that it? That is the first lesson of the day, I believe. Let me continue here. Abraham. Yes, that's the first lesson of the day. So we're going to... Is that about an hour, Pastor Ben?
It is 44 minutes.
44 minutes? Okay. So, what are your words today? What are your words today? How do you say good in Hebrew? How do you say good in Hebrew? I'm going to get my eraser here. Where's my eraser at? How do you say good in Hebrew? Tov. Okay. How do you say please in Hebrew? Bavakasha, please. Okay? Bavakasha. Ataya kole azurli, bavakasha. Can you help me? Please. Okay? Now, what was the last word, Pastor Ben? Do you remember that last word we used? Okay. Who remembers the third word? Please, Bavakas. Toda, thank you. Thank you, Darcy. I appreciate you, girl.
And Shirley.
Toda, and Shirley as well. Toda means thank you. Now, I don't want to get too complicated for the first day, but if you want to say thank you very much, you can say Toda Rabba, which means thank you very much. Toda Rabba. Toda Rabba just means thank you very much, okay? So, Tov is good, Bavakasha is please, Toda Rabba is thank you very much, or Toda means thank you. So I want to say to you, thank you guys for watching the first day of the Hebrew class, but now I have an assignment for you. All of these letters, not just the first seven, all 22 of these letters, I need for you to write each letter on a piece of paper. Take a picture of it and send it to me. And I hope, try to make the letter look just like the ones on the page, okay? Do not do a different letter. Write an olive like the olive looks. Write a bet like the bet looks. Write a gimel. Now, those little things on top of the gimel, those three lines, you don't have to write those. Those are crowning things that were used in ancient Hebrew. But just write out the letters the way you see them written out so we can begin to learn the letters. Write all 22 letters, then take a picture of it and email it to me, okay? Because I'm going to grade you on how well you wrote out your letters, okay? If you had a problem with one and I'm saying this needs to be changed to this, I'm going to let you know this letter doesn't look right. You need to add this or it shouldn't be touching there. So try to stick with the form of the letters that are written here, okay? And I'm going to send each one of you the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew so that you can learn the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew, because at the beginning of each class, we will say the Lord's Prayer, and we will also say the Shema Prayer, but that's going to take just a little bit longer. So as we depart, I'm going to say unto you,
Yes. Tell them to send their homework to s4ctruth@aol.com.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Did y'all hear, Pastor Ben?
s4ctruth@aol.com/homework.
Yes. And so he will get all the homework there. And listen, when we finish the lessons that we're going to finish here, there will be a test. We have designed tests that you will take, because we don't want you to just hear what I'm saying. I want this to resonate into your spirit so that you understand that the story of Abraham, that Jesus was already promised to you when God wrote the story of Abraham, that Jesus was already promised to you from Genesis before we got to Matthew. Now, can I depart now, Pastor Ben?
Not yet. Tell him we're coming back, Pastor.
Next Thursday, we'll be back at the same time. If we're going to change dates, we will let you know way ahead of time. But we're going to be Thursday at 12:30. And for those of you that were not able to watch live, I hope they can pick it up later and watch it, and then make sure you hear the instructions and do the homework. Write the letters. Until you learn the letters, it's going to be very hard for you to learn Hebrew, because you're going to have to learn how to write and to read Hebrew. And by the end of this, you'll be like the students that we graduated over the 2 years. You'll be able to not only read Hebrew and write Hebrew, but to be able to speak enough Hebrew that you can go to Israel and order a nice dinner at a nice restaurant. Praise God. So here we are. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, but the benediction that God gave to Moses. And it, in English, it says, bless my people and say to them this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivareka Adonai Yair Panavilecha. Ve'yaseh Adonai Panavilecha ve'yasim lechai shalom. And we will see you next Thursday. Amen. God bless you.
How many pages did you have, Pastor? Because they're asking.
Huh?
How many pages do you have in that? Did we go over 11 pages?
We went from page, we ended at page 13. And next week we will start at page, on chapter four, on page 14, we will begin to study the 888, the important number of God. Okay, so if you guys are still there. Now, I sat down to a pastor and I said, do you know that Jesus' number is 888? And he said, I had no idea. And this is the thing. When I went to a university to present to them this course, I said, people need to have some biblical understanding through Hebrew, because the author is Hebrew. And the author wrote Hebrew letters. So, but they said, no, we only have one course for Hebrew and we don't need any more. So, I'm going to write a book one day, and I don't know if I have the time for that either, but it's called Who Cares About the Author, okay? And the book is called Who Cares About the Author, because the author is Hebrew, his culture is Hebrew, his language is Hebrew, and nobody cares that the culture, language, and everything of our God is Hebrew, and we don't want to learn his culture. But the more we learn about his culture and his language, the more we know and understand him. So praise God, and we'll see you next Thursday. Is that it? All right. Do we have question and answer?
No, I think we're good.
Okay.